Well, last week was the last of our sermon series on the book of Psalms. If you missed any of them, you can go to our Facebook page, rewatch them there, or go to our YouTube channel, or my YouTube channel. I send out links every week, and you can rewatch any of them there as well. Today, we start a new sermon series called Encounters with Christ. And each week, we're going to look at people who had a one-on-one encounter with Jesus. And this week, we look at a very familiar person, a man named Zacchaeus. And I'm sure many of you remember that little song from VBS days gone. The Zacchaeus was a wee little man, right? Well, we're going to sing that just for fun. So I think Ethan's got the words up for us. Bonnie's going to play and rely on Martha, not me. Bring up some memories? Bob? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Speaking of short people, let's get back to our scriptures. Let us go to verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. This verse teaches us a lot about Zacchaeus. As a chief tax collector, he stands at the top of a collection pyramid, taking a cut of commission from those who collected taxes for him. And therefore, he became a very wealthy man. But in his culture, this wealth was considered to be ill-gotten. So in the Jewish culture, there were wealthy people who they believed were blessed by God, and then there were wealthy people who got it by bad means. Both the Romans and local authorities, including the temple and the ruling council, imposed various taxes, tolls, and other customs in the region of Palestine. The Romans would lease the right to collect taxes to individuals who then hired strong men underneath them to collect the taxes. And this term, chief tax collector, is very uniquely used only in this passage of the New Testament. And it probably indicates that Zacchaeus didn't just have two or three guys under him. Zacchaeus was probably the head guy for a very large region of the area. And he was probably collecting taxes on all the customs and goods passing between a town called Perea and a region of Judea. So with all the subordinates working for him, it's not surprising that we identify him as a very wealthy individual. Tax collectors were despised in Israel because they were viewed first as extortionists, people who often collected more than what was due to them, right? Imagine going into the store and what, in Hamilton County, it's 7-some% sales tax, right? And what if Danny's behind the counter and says, yeah, you're paying 10 today? Well, you might not laugh at Danny, but somebody else, a big man, might say, you're paying 10%, and you might go, okay, I'm paying that. But all they had to do, because there was a Roman soldier around the corner, all they had to do is say, this guy's refusing to pay taxes, and you get arrested. So not only were they extortionists collecting often more than what was due to them, they were also seen as Roman collaborators. The Romans occupied the Holy Land. The Romans controlled the lives of the Jewish people. The Romans were the enemy, And Zacchaeus not only worked for the enemy, he profited from his relationship with the Romans. And for that reason, most Jewish people saw Zacchaeus and other tax collectors as unredeemable sinners, meaning they were sinners beyond hope. They weren't just people who, messed up and could go to the temple and make a sacrifice and be made right with God. These were people who were so awful and unredeemable, they didn't want them anywhere near the temple. God can't even save that person. That's what they believed. Ironically, Zacchaeus' name is translated in Hebrew to mean the pure one. His society thought he was an unredeemable sinner, yet his name means the pure one. And next, in verse 3, we see, he wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. We do not know why Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Obviously, a lot of other people wanted to see Jesus. So many people, the crowd was so big, Zacchaeus couldn't see over them. And maybe it was the story prior to this, from Luke 18:35. As Jesus approached Jericho, that's where Zacchaeus was, in Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "What's happening?" They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see." I think there's great significance in that phrase, "Lord, I want to see." Because sometimes we see, and then sometimes we see. You know the difference? Sometimes you see. And as we continue, the crowd gets to witness a miracle. And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. So Jesus performs this miracle and it stirs up the crowd. People become excited, people become curious. Remember that revival that happened at Asbury College in 2023? A lot of people became curious, didn't they? Some people drove hundreds, if not thousands of miles to go there and see what was going on. They wanted to be a part of this great thing. It drew all kinds of news media and other kinds of coverage. And people were very curious. And here in our story, Jesus heals this guy and everybody becomes in awe and wonder and starts praising God and crowds are gathering. And Zacchaeus hears the commotion and he wants to see who Jesus was. And if we go back to 19:3, he wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, one thing you'll learn about reading the Gospel of Luke, or anything written by Luke, including the book of Acts Sunday school class, there is nothing written by accident or without thought. The blind man wanted to see, and his miracle was a miracle about faith. And now we see Zacchaeus also wants to see. Zacchaeus in this moment may not know why, but in his heart, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And not only did Zacchaeus have the obstacle of being a tax collector against him, the Bible says, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. And so he had to run ahead and climb the tree. So in addition to being a sinner, Zacchaeus had other things going against him. He was short, and the crowd blocked his view. Now again, nothing is written by accident. Zacchaeus' height was symbolic of his place in society. Even though Zacchaeus was wealthy, he was seen as being at the bottom, a sinner, a betrayer, an extortionist. And who was the crowd that was blocking his view? It was the people who were praising God. Now, don't you think it's odd that it was the crowd who was praising God that prevented the very person who needed to see Jesus from seeing Jesus? Do you get that? The person who needed to see Jesus couldn't see Jesus because of the people who were praising God. Now, I want you to hold on to that thought for a moment as we continue. Let's remember the crowd who was praising God, who kept people from seeing Jesus. Hold on to that thought. Fortunately, Zacchaeus was determined to see Jesus, and he literally went above and beyond to see Jesus. But he didn't just see Jesus. Jesus saw him. Verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Because of his divine nature, Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was. Remember last week's sermon? God knows everything about us, who we are and what we have done, and God still loves us, and God desires to restore us. And here is Jesus, who not only sees Zacchaeus in the tree, he sees Zacchaeus. And he says, "I must stay at your house today." Now this, folks, is a profound statement. I must stay at your house today. This was very significant culturally. This was more than a casual visit. Jesus wanted to stay as a welcomed person, a person who stayed and ate. This implied a very personal connection when you stayed and dined at someone's house. And the next verse tells us what a big deal this is in their culture, because who you keep company with really defines something about you. Verse 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Now I want to take you back to the previous thought. Who were all these people? They were the crowd who was praising God. Folks, hold up a mirror and say, we're that person. We are the church. The people who believe in God and allegedly celebrate all the great things that He does. And remember, it was this crowd who prevented the very person who needed to see Jesus from seeing Jesus. These people were so hyper-focused on Jesus and praising God that they could not see the way Jesus saw. They had an inward focus on themselves. They saw themselves as good because they accepted the goodness of God and what God did. They saw themselves as good because they're better than those sinners, those tax collectors, right? This was a crowd that was literally closer to God. And in their minds, they thought they were spiritually closer to God. But if we really look at their actions, were they really? Because after Jesus healed this blind man, did they go through the city and look for others to be healed? Certainly the healing was praiseworthy, but instead of turning the praiseworthy event into more ministry, into more healing, the crowd closes in on Jesus and actually prevents others from finding Jesus. Then this crowd, in their business of praising God for one person being healed by faith, they have the gall to condemn Jesus for being the guest of Zacchaeus the sinner. Doesn't Zacchaeus need Jesus as much, if not more, than the blind man? Jesus not only saw Zacchaeus, Jesus sought after Zacchaeus. Jesus met Zacchaeus in his home. Jesus did not invite him to the local synagogue. Jesus didn't say, travel with me up to the big temple in Jerusalem. Jesus met Zacchaeus in his home on his turf. And we, as the church, need to see that all too often we are the same as that crowd. We want to determine who is worthy of God's salvation. We want people to come to Christ on our terms and our way. We don't want to take salvation to them. We want them to come to church on our terms. And often we are so busy, focused on our worship, on our own fulfillment, on what we want, that we block others from seeing Jesus. We see Jesus as three hymns offering and hopefully a brief sermon. When you saw my jaw bruised up, you were hoping I couldn't talk today, right? What if next Sunday, in order to draw a more urban crowd, we started playing some hardcore Christian rap music? Many, if not most of you, wouldn't stand for that. I don't want to hear that garbage in church. Because we're traditionalists and we want what we want. What if next week I rounded up every homeless person I could and brought them into the service in their unbathed condition? People who know nothing about worship and spent most of their time talking and moving about and walking around the sanctuary. I bet you a bunch of you would be muttering and complaining. Oh my gosh, who let them in? What if next week we started doing everything in our service in both Spanish and English? So my sermon had to be twice as long. Don't tell me there would not be a lot of muttering and complaining for any significant change in what we do. Unless it was shorter. Jesus saw Zacchaeus for who he was. Jesus knew that in order to bring salvation to Zacchaeus, that he needed to go out and first meet Zacchaeus on Zacchaeus' turf. And we as a church need to see our community. We need to see the people. And in order to bring salvation to them, to bring about change, we have to stop being barriers and start being missionaries who meet people on their turf. And when we see the people the way Jesus saw them, when we love them the way Jesus loved them, then and only then do we have a chance to lead them to faith in Christ. I mean, that's what's great about things like VBS or our cruising, right? Because what are we doing? We're meeting people on their turf. Cars, right? Kids. And look at the results of Jesus meeting Zacchaeus on his turf. That Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of all my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." I want us to see a few things here in this stretch of verses, and we're going to work backwards. Verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This was the mission of Christ. This should be the mission of the church, to seek and to save the lost. And ask ourselves as a church, how are we doing? How are we looking at that mission? Secondly, I want us to see that Jesus said Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Now, this is a powerful statement. Zacchaeus was not a Gentile. He was not Greek or Roman. Zacchaeus was not a pagan. He did not worship the gods of the Romans or the Persians. Zacchaeus was an Israelite from the tribe of Judah. He was a Jew. So technically, Zacchaeus was born a son of Abraham. So why then did Jesus say today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham? Jesus came to show that real faith is a faith of the heart, the faith of the soul. It didn't matter that Zacchaeus was born a Jew. Jesus does not care if you were born to Christian parents. He does not care if you did everything in church from the time of your youth to this very day. Jesus cares about the condition of your heart. Jesus wants to know, do you love God with all your heart? He wants to know, do you love your neighbors? Do you have full faith in God? Has your faith and the saving grace of Jesus Christ brought about any real change in your life? Because what we see here is that not only did Zacchaeus literally go above and beyond to see Jesus by climbing the tree, Zacchaeus literally goes above and beyond to demonstrate his salvation. The Bible says he only has to give 10%. And what did he do? He said, I'm giving half of my wealth. And in the Old Testament, it tells you what to do if you've wronged someone and how to pay them back. He says, I'm going to go above that. I'm giving four times back. Four times. The change in the love that came into his heart was so great, he became extravagantly generous. Salvation brings about change. People should see our faith by how we live every day. My favorite passage in all the Bible comes from James chapter 2. James writes, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. And my favorite verse, but some will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You see, we can't live as a crowd focused on Jesus in such a way that we can't turn around and see the people who need Jesus. We need to be a people who see people as Jesus saw them. And we need to respond like Zacchaeus and let our faith be seen by our actions. And James concludes this in chapter 2. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. It's easy to get wrapped up into what you want out of your faith. It's easy to get wrapped up in what you want out of church. It's a lot harder to say, how can we change to reach the lost? How can we change to bring more people in to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? Now, we're going to hear next week the antithesis of this story, the rich young ruler. We live in a culture that's all about me. We live in a culture about our convenience or inconvenience, and we don't like to be inconvenienced, do we? And how many times do we say, well, that's just not worth it? But did Zacchaeus say that? It was worth it to him to go out of his way to see Jesus. And Jesus went out of his way to find Zacchaeus, to go have dinner with Zacchaeus, to go in the home of the sinner. We have to be willing to go to seek and save the lost. Now, worship is good. Praising God is good. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to do that. It is healthy. It is a spiritual discipline. But we can't be so focused on being the church here from 10:15 to whenever that we can't go out and see people, love people, and reach people. Because people will feel uncomfortable just coming here, especially if they're unchurched people. They won't know what to do. They won't know what to say. But if you reach people at their level and love them, then they're going to feel more comfortable to come into a place they know they're loved. Because we can grumble and call them sinners, or we can embrace them and love them and see them the way Christ did. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the story of Zacchaeus, and not only for the wonderful story of his salvation, but we thank you for the example that Christ set for us. To see people have a need for more than what is in front of them. The blind man needed more than just to see. He needed to be loved, and he needed to see. Zacchaeus needed to be loved, and Zacchaeus needed to see. Lord, let us be more like you each and every day. Let us see people beyond their circumstances, and let us love as you called us to love. Let us truly be your hands and your feet in this world, and through our faith, through the actions of our faith, may people see you. This we pray through the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus saw only two kinds of people: those who had faith and loved God, and those who needed to have faith and love God. And when we look out into this world, we can divide people by politics. We can divide people by social class. We can divide people by drug addicts. We can divide people by what they do or don't do. We can make a lot of different divisions out there. But there's truly the only two kinds of people: those who Christ Jesus is their Savior, and those who need Christ Jesus to be their Savior. Now, next week, we're going to learn there's going to be people who reject that. That is not our responsibility. If we've presented the gospel and loved the way Jesus loved, they may still reject the gospel. But our job is to never stop loving, never stop seeking the lost, and never stop leading them to salvation. May we leave here and be more than just a crowd who praises God. May we be a crowd who turns and sees the way Jesus saw people. And may we help them see who Jesus is. Let us leave here as faithful and loving children of our God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may we go to seek and save the lost. Amen.